Thank you, Brother Ernest. Those were beautiful songs that you chose tonight. And if some of us are not inspired by that, then as they say, your wood is wet. I'd like to express gratitude for the fact that over a period of time, you folks have been so gracious in expressing appreciation for messages and for studies in the Word of God. We don't look for compliments or accolades, but it is encouraging when one spends a good deal of time on the message and then seeks to present it in a way that will honor God and bless people. And I think preachers are sometimes like baseball players. You know, you have everything all set, and in a way you know how to play, but that particular game just doesn't turn out. By the way, that's what's happening to the Atlanta Braves these days. And I'm sure that the old manager is having quite a difficult time right now in trying to encourage his players to get on the stick. Quite often folks are asking about how I'm doing physically. It's a little bit embarrassing to talk about it, but often it becomes a reason for prayer and thanksgiving. I just recently had an appointment with the specialist in Mayo's, and he was quite encouraging. And then he said to me something that he ought to say if he is a Christian. He has never given indication yet that he is. But he said, I'll tell you what, don't let it dominate your life. Live just as naturally as you can. And I thought that that was good advice from a professional medical person. And then not long ago when I was with the family practice doctor in Ocala, he gave me the label that I was a survivor because I've had hepatitis C for quite a while and it has been pretty much balanced and doesn't advance a great deal. So we just thank God for that. Talking about survivors, how about Brother Hainish and his wife here tonight for the second time again on this Lord's Day? Congratulations, and God bless you in a wonderful way. I thought that after the message in connection with Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, it would be appropriate to focus our attention on a passage of Scripture that now sets before us our privilege and responsibilities as servants of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And there's a beautiful little psalm hidden right just about in the center of it, and that's Psalm 67. Psalm 67. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. I pray that God will take this reading of Scripture and instruct and inspire us as far as our mission as followers of the Lord Jesus is concerned. I'd like to pause for just a moment, though this I meant to insert it before this. I'd like to pause for a moment and pray for our nation, our national leaders in this tremendous tussle that's going on with China, and there's so much at stake for so many people, I think we need to bear our leaders before the Lord at this time. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray tonight with thanksgiving for the President of our country, for the Secretary of State, for the National Security Advisor, for the heads of the military, the diplomatic corps, for those who handle national security. Oh, Father, we pray that during these days they might have a deep conviction that they need your guidance and your help. We pray that there will be trusting men and women among them who will seek that help. And we ask, O God, that you will keep these negotiations on the right level and that there will be a proper outcome of this clash of opinion and ideologies. And Lord, as we pray for that, we remember that the nation of China is such a large nation with so many precious souls. Thank God for the ones in that country that are sincere followers of Jesus Christ. Bless them during these days. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, Bruce Barton told the story of two seas, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. One only receives and doesn't give. We call it the Dead Sea. The other one receives and gives. It's fresh and sparkling, teeming with life. We call it the Sea of Galilee. The two seas tell a parable, don't they? Unshared blessings choke life. Unused limbs atrophy. Unemployed talents will judge us, while used talents bring us more. And this psalm, as well as many others in the book of Psalms, teaches us that we are blessed not just to be blessed. We are blessed to become a blessing. And in that regard, the man Abraham presents a beautiful illustration. I think often of Genesis 12:1. I will bless you. And it follows, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And you and I tonight ought to ask the question, what is happening with the blessings, the talents, and the capabilities that God has given us? Are they atrophied or growing? And I pray that God will speak to us and test our hearts tonight as we think about that. I think as you heard the psalm read, or as you read it, you will notice that Psalm 67 joins two facts: the blessing of God and the ministry to the world. 10 times the earth, peoples, and nations are mentioned. And verse 7 tells us very clearly that God blesses us so people all over the earth will fear him. And I'd like to think with you tonight about spreading God's salvation. First, the reasons for telling. Second, the results of telling. And finally, thank God, the resources for telling. The psalmist understood that God was ready to bless him in a wonderful way, and he mentioned 3 things especially. He asked for mercy. Mercy, of course, is connected with forgiveness. The psalmist knew that everything started there. Today, times have changed tremendously, but this hasn't changed at all. Our most fundamental need is to be forgiven and cleansed through God's mercy in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, many of us are aware of that beautiful statement that we find in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's wonderful to experience the forgiveness of God and to keep good accounts with Him. And when we need it, to seek and to ask for His forgiveness, because He is ready to forgive. I come from a church background that was very strict in many areas. And it's very interesting that over and over again in their Christian experience, they ask as they pray for God's forgiveness. Now, so often that can just become rote, or something that is done out of custom and done unthinkingly. But as we are praying and we recognize that we are sinners and that we need God's forgiveness, it's a good and humbling thing, an inspiring thing, on more than one occasion, to ask and to expect God's forgiveness. And then the psalmist expected God's blessing. Now, what do we mean by that? We're talking about God's provision. Spurgeon said, His blessings are His gifts and deeds. And I think of these very key verses of Scripture, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. And He doesn't add sorrow, because what God gives is right for us. And then James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It's a great thing in life to experience God's blessing, and day after day to count on Him to provide all of the things that we need in order to serve Him well. And then, so interestingly, he asks for God's favoring presence. That's what is meant when he says, cause your face to shine upon us. Remember Moses talking with God in Exodus 33? He wanted to be sure of God's help and presence. Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. God's favor. What power! We need God's favor to shine on us and God's presence to radiate through us. I think some of you are acquainted with that family, the Griners, who travel often in all kinds of meetings and special events and so on. They send out a mailing every now and then with some very good thoughts to ponder and thoughts to reflect on. We just got one of those envelopes a few days ago, and I was very interested in seeing an article that they had there in connection with the great missionary Adoniram Judson. I think it's a beautiful story. I don't know it well enough not to read it, but I will give you the facts and try to keep in good eye contact with you at the same time. When the great missionary Adoniram Judson was home on furlough, he passed through the city of Stonington, Connecticut. A young boy playing about the wharves at the time of Judson's arrival was struck by the man's appearance. Never before had he seen such a light on any human face. He ran up the street to a minister to ask if he knew who the stranger was. The minister hurried back with him, but became so absorbed in conversation with Judson that he forgot all about the impatient youngster standing alongside him. Many years afterwards, That boy who could never get away from the influence of that wonderful face became the famous preacher Henry Clay Turnbull. In a book of memoirs, he penned a chapter entitled, What a Boy Saw in the Face of Adoniram Judson. The lighted countenance had changed his life. Even as flowers thrive when they bend to the light, so shining, radiant faces come to those who constantly turn toward Christ. A true believer in Christ should radiate his joy in Christ. So the psalmist underscores three things: forgiveness, blessing, God's favor to rest upon them, in order that their own testimony might shine brilliantly among men and women that need that message. Then the psalmist also knew what God expected of him. He knew that armed with God's forgiveness, his blessing, and his favor, he should share those things with men and women worldwide. That's why all through the psalm, the world is mentioned, the nations, the peoples, to keep before him and us our privilege and responsibility. And I like to put it this way: if we do that and remember God's blessings and his favor, then there will be an inflow that produces an outflow that ends up with a great uplift when we try to serve the Lord and present his message to others. And then the psalm also talks about thy saving health among all nations, wholeness, soundness, wholesomeness, which the gospel brings. I think it was A.B. Simpson who wrote, "This is the gospel men need, a gospel that brings glad tidings for every human need and saves us utterly and in every part of our being." And that is what the gospel does, and we're thankful to God for that. Then this psalm also tells us about the results of the telling. First of all, it says that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And then notice verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. When you and I share the message and tell the story, and men and women have their hearts and faces turned toward him, then the nations, the peoples, the tribes, everywhere will praise God. In all parts of the world, men and women will worship God. A great hymn of praise will go up to the Lord. It's a great culmination that will come when Christ's redeemed people will be in heaven with him. That will be some hallelujah chorus. Let all the peoples praise you. One thing that we have seen emphasized and that has impressed us so often as we've gone about in Christian service is that we remember with great joy and reflection the times that we've been in communion services with people all over the world, sometimes in the strangest places. But there's one common thread that runs through it all, and that is praise and thanksgiving to God for all that he has done. I remember the time we were in Soweto in South Africa and had the privilege of communion with them, of being with a whole group of men and women from Latin America, from all the different countries, at the conclusion of a conference where we just had a marvelous communion service that bound our hearts together and even more toward him. I think of having communion services on the mountain heights and in the rural areas, after baptisms and so on. Running through all of them is the wonderful story of praise and thanksgiving to God for his saving grace and his blessing in their lives. And then it says, let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. That's another one of the results of spreading God's message. The nations will be glad and shout for joy. Not only will they worship, but they themselves will have sadness turned to joy, despair to hope, problems into victories. Using the words from the the teaching that the Lord Jesus gave when you can actually translate the phrase, "Oh, the happinesses of those who follow God's way." And we need to publish that much more. One thing I have noticed especially, I think I've mentioned it several times here, when we look at the descendants of the Incas, the Quechuas of Latin America, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, about 15 million of them, the work of the gospel among them has done this great thing, that they are so thankful that they're constantly singing and being glad with great joy. In fact, if you want to get an idea of how much they sing, they usually sing when they get together for a service twice as long as we have one of our services. That's the first part, the song leading and the singing and the expression of gladness and joy before the Lord. A couple of hours of that. And they have their different musical groups that gather together. And some of the people who have had very little musical education or very little opportunity, somehow they learn how to play those instruments, and they have a natural bent toward harmonies and things of that kind. Oh, it's just wonderful to be present with them and see the joy that they exhibit when they tell the Lord how much they love Him and desire to serve Him. And then that's not only true about the Quechuas, it's true about the Hispanics. It's never a dull moment to work for Christ in Latin America. The people there are much more emotional than we are. And it is very interesting to see the emotion with which they carry on their services and in which they express their thanksgiving to God, and the songs that have been written and how they love those songs and how they sing them over and over again with thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. And then we've been with the Portuguese in Brazil, we've been with the Latin Americans in Chile, and the same thing is true all the way along the line. They spend a lot of time in praising God and thanking Him for what He has done in their lives. That's in line with what this psalm says. Let all the nations be glad and sing for joy. And then there's another result. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. When men and women hear God's message and accept it, they come under God's wise and righteous control. Blessed the family, the community, the tribe, the nation, where God's sovereignty is honored. And very, very sad to watch a nation, a tribe, or a people where God's sovereignty is not honored. In history, we find good cases where enough citizens lived under God's lordship that their nation greatly benefited. Look back into history. At a time when England was at a tremendously low ebb, there was a marvelous revival that changed the whole face of England and that saved it for missionary outreach in that particular century. And the effects of it were felt all the way around the world, just because men and women were so greatly changed and blessed in that revival that swept across the land. We've had the same thing in the United States at different periods in our history, where communities that were just wandering along, not paying much attention to God's will and God's purpose, and getting farther and farther away from what He wanted them to do, then all of a sudden there's a movement of the Spirit of God among them. Some of those great New England revivals, would that they were there today. And what a great thing happens, because it begins to touch every area of life. And then I have not been there to witness it, but they tell me that the East African revival continued for many, many years in some of those countries, like Kenya, at one time even Uganda, where the nation was powerfully touched by the Spirit of God, and men and women put their lives under the sovereignty of God. What a difference that makes. In fact, when I talk about that, I just think with great sadness. Oh, when will the day come when this nation will once again choose to put itself under the sovereignty of God? A few days ago, we attended a wedding in Orlando. There's a large church there in Orlando called the First Baptist Church. They have a big attendance. In addition to that, they have a very fine Christian school that has 1,100 students. I had a few minutes to talk with the headmaster, and it wasn't long before we began to discuss what can happen or what can we do in connection with our public educational system in the United States. Is there a way to change it? Is there a way to make a difference? And this headmaster thought for just a moment, and he said, Abe, I've considered that for a long time. There's only one way to find the answer, and that is let revival come. If revival comes, then we will watch men and women come under the sovereignty of God once again, and you'll find many problems solved that we don't know how to handle today, including that persistent problem of shootings in our schools. What a sad commentary of people who are living outside the sovereignty of God. But this is what the Psalm says, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah. And you and I need to pray that in as much as possible, those who lead our nation and those who live in our nation will actually make a determined purpose and desire to live under the sovereignty of God, according to His rules and according to His plans and according to His principles. You can have the latest technology. You can have the latest advancements. You can have everything going at a tremendous clip, and it's as prosperous as can be, and all of a sudden that whole deck of cards will fall in unless we have the opportunity of bowing before the Lord and confessing our sin and trusting for His work in our lives. Then finally, I want to think with you about the resources for telling. The psalmist uses a very interesting illustration. It's toward the end of this psalm. Verse 6 and 7. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. You know what the illustration is? The illustration is that of God making the land produce. You know, we are so used to it, but we've forgotten what an amazing thing it is that God has done in causing the crops to grow and the harvest to come year after year. Men prepare the soil, they sow the seed, they water it and weed it, they harvest, yet they depend on the mysterious growth that God provides. If it were not for that, we wouldn't have any production. We wouldn't have any harvests. I haven't thought about that enough in recent years. You know, as you and I look at creation and what God has done, then to think of the fact that you put a seed in the ground, and that seed germinates, and a little plant starts to come up through the soil, and that plant gets larger, and then it has some blossoms, and before you know it, there's fruit on that plant. Well, you can till the soil. You can care for it very carefully. You can water it. You can do all these things. But unless it had the principle of growth that God has put into those plants, it never would happen. I think it was William Jennings Bryan that always told the story of the amazing thing of putting a black seed into the ground and having a plant come up that produces green watermelon that on the inside has white and red and other colors, all from that little black seed that was put into the ground. It happens so often, we're so used to it, we're not amazed at it anymore. But it is a very amazing thing. Now notice what the psalm says. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. So God's blessing, making possible production even from the soil, is a good key and illustration of what God is able to do. Just as He does that in the growth of a plant, He will bless us in other necessary ways. The psalmist repeats, God shall bless us, our own God. This says two things. First, as God gives the ability to produce, He commits us to wise stewardship, so that the gospel will go to men and women everywhere. The ability to create wealth, the ability to have resources, and the ability to take care of them in the right way, that's a gift from God. And God says the earth will yield her increase. Now you as my servants, my lieutenants, you take care of that production. You take care of those resources and use them in order that the whole world might know the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank God tonight for the men and women in our own land right now who understand that principle and who've been generous and liberal and sincere, and they take care of serious stewardship. They understand that everything that they have comes from God, and they have a responsibility before Him. And that's the reason why from this land and some others, men and women have been able to go to the ends of the earth, having the resources to do it, in order to tell the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think when we talk about that, you and I should ask the question, are my resources at God's disposal? Am I ready to use them in the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If He has given me the ability to save and to put resources together or to produce resources, then He's also given me the responsibility and the opportunity of using those resources for Him. Thank God for the men and women who have taken that seriously through the years and who do so today. And then we remember that same Lord who makes the crops to grow will give us everything necessary to proclaim His message to all the world and to bring the gospel results. The spiritual dynamic, the spiritual vitality, the working of the Holy Spirit, that's God's promise to you and to me, as He tells us that the ends of the earth need to fear Him, and that you and I are part of the great team that have the opportunity of getting that message to men and women everywhere. Isn't that a tremendous formula that we read here? God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. That's a pretty simple formula, isn't it? Very simple. You can't state it more simply than that. The blessing of God produces the kind of outflow that causes the ends of the earth to fear Him, and men and women to come under the wonderful sound of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like some other statements in Scripture, you shall receive power. You shall be my witnesses. You can't get anything simpler than that. But all of that is at our disposal to use for the glory of God. In that connection, I just received a mailing from Mission Aviation Fellowship. And I usually read the different mailings that come to us from missions that are seeking to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this latest one, there's a beautiful story. A family by the name of Hoekstra went to Africa in 1948. And they stayed there until 1977. They would have stayed longer, but the particular country that they were in told them they couldn't continue anymore. And so, at one point, they felt that God was calling them to a jungle group in Ethiopia. They were so distant and so inaccessible that the first trip to them took 10 horrible days of travel to get to them. And they did reach them and worked among them from 1963 until 1977. And then the government ordered them, the foreign workers, to leave the country. And that's what they had to do. But at that point, when they left the country, there were about 100 believers in that group that were now following the Lord Jesus. Then, for some interesting reason, the government in 1994 said they could go back again. So they went back. Imagine their joy when they got there to find out that 100 believers had multiplied to 9,000 in 35 different churches. Well, isn't that what the psalm says? Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Just like you put a seed in the soil and the production comes. So when you sow the message of the gospel, by God's power and God's blessing, even when you can't be present, men and women come to faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we thank God for what happened in connection with the Hoekstras there in Africa in a number of years ago, and then beginning back again in 1994. And then the psalm says, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You know, folks, we're living in a day when that particular statement is becoming very, very true. Now, I don't mean to say that the job is done or that everyone has heard, but I can tell you tonight, and you know that too, that by the grace of God, in connection with this century and the years that are just past, now we can say that all the ends of the earth have heard of him. And everywhere you will find men and women who are following him. Just think of all of these different places. I noted some down later this afternoon. I think of Indonesia, where God has done a wonderful work. I think of China, with its large population. And in spite of all the adversity, such a large group of men and women who follow the Lord, in spite of all the persecution that they suffer. I think of South America. What has happened in this century is just amazing. And in every one of the Central and South American countries, there are a good number of established churches and a good number of growing believers. So much so that Brazil has often been called the country with the fastest and the largest church growth anywhere in the world. And that wasn't always true. That wasn't true at the beginning of the century. And now we can thank God that that gospel has gone to all these different places. In Central America, the percentage of believers in some of the countries is absolutely amazing and astounding. And we thank God for that. I think of South Korea. What a beautiful thing God has done there. I think now, in recent days, of what's happening in Mongolia, what's happening in Nepal, what's taking place in the Philippines, what continues to take place in East Africa, and in spite of all the opposition, what's happening in China at the present time. Such a large number of dedicated believers. I look at that statement and believe it's absolutely true. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The conclusion, I'd like to just quote a statement from Charles Spurgeon. You know, I just wish that Charles Spurgeon had been alive when I was alive. I'm still reading the messages that man presented many, many years ago. What a great gift God gave him. And I think it's at the end of a commentary on this particular psalm that Spurgeon wrote or said, God is with us. Why flag ye? Why grow weary? Why look ye to a human arm for strength? Why fear ye your enemies? Why seek ye slothful ease? God will bless us. Up ye men at arms and snatch the victory. Grasp your sickle, ye husbandmen, and gather in the harvest. Hoist your sails, ye mariners, for the favoring winds are coming. And I think that tonight we ought to ask the question before the Lord, each one of us, Lord, what do you wish me to be? What do you want me to do? I hear your message in this psalm and understand that your purpose is that the ends of the earth shall fear him. And we who are so greatly blessed will carry that message north, south, east, and west until the job is done and the church is complete and the King will come. Thank God for that hope. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching of Psalm 67, something that was written so many, many years ago, but written by the Spirit of God and written in faith of what God would do. We thank you for what has happened. We thank you, Lord, that some of us have lived in this century when we have seen such marvelous things take place in the midst of many things that are heartbreaking. But we thank you for the advance of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we look forward to the day when the church is complete and the King will come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.